When I was a girl growing up in Brooklyn, my mother would occasionally take me to the department stores in downtown Brooklyn. The best part of the day was lunch at Junior's restaurant. The shrimp salad sandwiches had so many shrimp, large shrimp, you needed a fork to eat the salad that fell off the delicious rye bread. I lost track of the restaurant when I left Brooklyn, so I was delighted to find a new book called Welcome to Junior's, written with the restaurant's owners, filled with recipes and Brooklyn history. Junior's opened in 1950, replacing a sandwich shop that had been opened by the same family in 1929. My guests are Marvin and Alan Rosen, respectively second and third generation owners of Junior's. The book reprints a menu from the 50s. I asked if Junior's still serves the same dishes.
The two items that people always ask me that I can say that are not on the menu anymore that used to be on the menu are beef flonkin and chicken in the pot.
How about charcoal broiled lamb chops on toast? I don't imagine that would still be a popular dish.
It's no longer on toast. Now we have pork chops, but we don't have lamb chops.
Right.
Junior's always had a peculiar way. We always used to say a la Junior's, a peculiar way of serving certain things. That might be one of them on toast.
Okay, tell me if you still have this pie, prune and apricot pie.
No.
Right.
Prune Danish.
Prune Danish.
Yes.
By popular demand, we no longer have it on the menu.
No, what about Nestle Road whipped cream pie? I haven't heard the word Nestle Road pie in years. It's
Nestle Road pie is a like derivative of a rum-type flavor, tutti-frutti-type pie. And honestly, that went out with rock and roll, I must say. We used to sell an enormous amount of cream pies, an enormous that were all topped with whipped cream. But there's no question that whipped cream is really, you know, not gone by the wayside, but people are whipped cream conscious as opposed to cheesecake, that they'll eat. Whipped cream, second thoughts about that, though. We do not have that. That is no longer on the menu.
Now, Marvin Rosen, your father, Harry, yes, opened a sandwich shop on the location that Junior's is at. And I think this was during the Prohibition?
Yes, in 1929.
Did he have any? So it was Prohibition and Depression.
That's right.
What were some of his favorite stories about starting a restaurant during that time?
Well, first of all, I believe he got married in 1929, is when the stock market crashed. And he got a nice telegram on his honeymoon in Niagara Falls that you broke. So that was the beginning of it.
He had the telegram told him about the stock market crash?
The stock market had crashed, right, and you are broke, you're out. And because at that time, I think it was, he had to put up 10% margin, and that was it, he got wiped out. So from a comfortable young married gentleman, he became very poor. So my mother said, wow, I married you, you were rich, and now look at you 3 days later. In any event, on the more serious side, he then with his brother Mike at the time got together and opened up a little small horseshoe-type sandwich counter called the Enduro Sandwich Shop. And Luncheonette, which was right across the street from the Paramount Theater. At the time, they had vaudeville. Eddie Cantor, Rudy Valley, all the old-timers used to perform there and come in. And throughout the years, things got better, and he expanded and expanded and expanded until he had the entire 10,000-square-foot corner, and it was called the Enduro, which was completed by 1939 or 40. He had music, he had a band, and there was stage shows, steaks, and charcoal broiler in the window. They would show you how the steaks were cooked. There was a refrigerated showcase.
Oh, I used to love that in New York. Those places that had the grill
all
in the window.
All the grill in the window, and there was a refrigerated showcase showing all the meats, the steaks, and chops. And it was quite the operation. It was very, very big.
Now the book says that the founder of Junior's, and this would be Alan's grandfather and Marvin's father, had a gambling problem, and there was a period when the Enduro, the restaurant that preceded Junior's that the family owned, was going broke. So Marvin, your father, tried to gamble and win enough money to save the restaurant. But what happened?
No, he had made a lot. I guess he had made a lot of money, and you know what happens when a young guy makes a lot of money. He has to find ways of getting rid of it, right? So he enjoyed watching the horses run, and he liked those things called dominoes, or crap shooting is what you call them. And he had his kicks, he had his ups and his downs, but one thing he knew how to do, and I think it rubbed off on all of us, he knew how to make money. He was a comeback kid. And I don't know if it's in the book when he reopened Junior's, he was always known as a very, very, very good dresser. And, of course, at the time, he could not afford his expensive label suits. So what he did is he went to a local chain store, men's clothing store, bought a few suits, had the labels taken out by his tailor, had labels from Saks Fifth Avenue put in. It might sound corny, but this was my father. He was a showman, because the customers always looked up to him. He was a great host. When you walked in the Junior's, you knew Harry Rosen was at that front door. When you heard the snap of a finger, that snap meant the hostess should look up and it was a party of two, a party of three, a party of four. Yes, it was offensive, because every time he snapped his finger, it would startle everybody. We'd jump, but that was part of Junior's. Noisy, hustle, bustle, busy, and that was it. That is the flavor of Junior's.
Marvin, what was it like to grow up the son of the owner of Junior's? Did you spend a lot of time in the restaurant?
A lot of time. I think my brother and I spent our lives in the restaurant.
You said it was tough. What was tough?
Tough. Very tough, because he was very demanding. I mean, we had to dot our I's and cross the T's, and that was it. If there was a complaint by a customer, he'd point his finger to one of the sons and say, tell them about it. If there was a compliment, he would say, thank you very much. And that's the way he was. I have no regrets. He taught us well, but those were the 50s and 60s and 70s. Today, it's a different ball game today. I don't want my nephews, nor does my brother want his sons to have to work as hard as we did, because we did lose a certain part of our life, which was, you know, social and what have you. But watching our children grow up, we don't want our nephews to do it because it's not necessary. Businesses are run a little differently today. They're computerized. We have more managers. It's just a different and better show.
Well, Alan, you are one of the aforementioned nephews. You're in the business. Why did you stay in it?
I happen to love the business. I think it's a fantastic business to be in. I think the fact that you get people coming back from years ago and they remember it then and it's still the same, that's the nicest thing anyone could say. And I've always wanted to be in the restaurant business. I've worked for other restaurants and then came back to work in my family business. And, you know, a lot of family businesses don't thrive or survive because the third or fourth generation don't want to be in that same business and go to work at 5 a.m. and go through walking boxes and look at shrimp and steaks and make sure the cheesecakes are baked properly. And that's why most businesses don't survive. And for that same reason, because my brother and I do love the business, we're going to survive.
My guests are Marvin and Alan Rosen, second and third generation owners of Junior's Restaurant in downtown Brooklyn. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Marvin and Alan Rosen, second and third generation owners of the Brooklyn restaurant Junior's, which has become a Brooklyn institution. There's a new Junior's cookbook. Marvin Rosen, what do you remember your father liking the most and hating the most about being in the restaurant business?
I don't think there was anything he hated about being in the business. My father loved the business. To him, it was like a show. And he was very well liked. He was an immaculate, demanding person. He would have inspection of waitresses and waiters before they would go on duty, whether it be their fingernails, their uniforms, their shoes, and he was just a nut job when he came to really, I can say it, he really was, but you know something, it paid. And today we follow suit. And I have an expression sometimes, I'll say to my nephews, you know something, if your grandfather was alive, he wouldn't allow this. You know, he wouldn't this, he wouldn't that. Because it was so instilled in my brother's head and mine that it was one way. He was a great, tough operator, but, you know, he was tough when we were there, but at home, he was a father, and he always said that because at times we'd complain to our mother how tough Daddy was and how tough he was, and she'd go to Daddy and say, what are you so tough on him for? And he'd say, shut up, because, you know something, you run your business, I'll run mine. And sure enough, my mother would come back and says, look, he only means well, it's for your benefit, it's not for his. And you know something? I look back today, some many, many years later. It did not hurt. I have no regrets. My brother has no regrets. We don't have any regrets because we have a beautiful business, and we've had a pretty good run. You know, something for a restaurant, Junior's alone, to be nearing 50 years, I guess we must be doing something right.
What are some of the things that you do today at Junior's that you think your father would have strenuously objected to?
I think the first thing would be is that we leave a little earlier than we used to. Instead of putting in 12 and 14 hours a day, we do on occasion, but instead of doing that, and my nephews do that on many occasions, we have learned to live a life and have managers and be demanding to the managers and having a rapport and meetings, which we never used to have, and meetings go a long, long way. And what you want, you tell them, and that's it. There's no, we don't believe in reprimanding a manager or an employee in front of anybody. If we have anything to say to anybody, we say it to them on the side, as opposed to where my father, if he, in the middle of a lunch hour, would see a waitress giving poor service, he would, like, go crazy. And that would make matters worse. So the customer would never get served, and the waitress would start to cry. So my father would wind up doing the serving. So that's it. It's a different generation today.
Alan, what are some of the things that you've done with the restaurant that are different from the other two generations that have run it?
Well, it's funny. When my brother and I came into the business, I mean, there wasn't a computer to be found. And obviously in today's day and age, you know, computers are part of the restaurant business. People see them in every computer and take them for granted. But it's, you know, that's one thing. Plus, we market ourselves. We do lots of fun things. You know, during the O.J. Simpson trial, someone had said something bad about Peter Neufeld's Brooklyn accent. He was one of the attorneys in the case. They'd made fun of his Brooklyn accent. And Juniors, as a representative of Brooklyn, decided that we were going to send the cheesecake to him with a note on it. And it said, Brooklyn to Judge Ito, you know, bite me, which probably wasn't the most politically correct thing to do at the time. But, you know, Brooklynites were a little upset. They were making fun of how we speak. And so Juniors just gets involved in more ways now. And we're just more active in the community. And with cheesecake, with bets on World Series and all stuff like that, Juniors always seems to be involved.
Now, the founder of Juniors, which was Marvin Rosen's father and Alan Rosen's grandfather, he used to be, well, like the maitre d' when he was at the restaurant, right? He'd greet people at the door and snap his fingers so that a waiter or a waitress could show them to the table. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do that yourselves?
Yes, we did it.
Well, why does the owner take on that role? I've often wondered that.
Only because we saw our father do it. And my brother and I operated the restaurant. We just worked it together. I mean, one would be front, one would be back. One back of the house, one front. So we really knew where one another were all the time. And you know something? It worked very, very well that way. At that time, we didn't have managers. My brother and I were managers. One would work days, one would work nights. One came in the morning, the other one came in 11, 12 o'clock. Work through dinner, sometimes later. So that was part of Juniors. Again, I say, today you walk into a restaurant, you don't even see a manager because everybody has their jobs to be done and the manager is not to be seen, which is a big change today in the restaurant business. My father, as I said, used to be a fashion plate, have beautiful fancy suits on, and that was him. He wanted to be known as the boss, and he was.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you very much.
Marvin and Alan Rosen are second and third generation owners of Junior's Restaurant in Brooklyn. Marvin Rosen is a co-author of the new book, Welcome to Junior's.